And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeared, here and declare your independence from here in Stan Cocker and Victor, Arizona, eh? From the beautiful studios of Freedom's One of That, StreamsPhoenix.com, Dr. Tim Ball. Oh, it's been too long. I'm looking forward to talking. Let's just say good morning, Dr. Ball. Hello, Doctor. How are you?
I'm fine, but you know, I'm tempted to just say morning and let you make up your own mind.
I just say, I think it's good. We're talking to you about good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Are things going well for you? I mean, you know, you feeling better?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You seem like you were reveling in the battle. You were like happy. You were like, ooh, let's go get some, you know. And then, but now that it's over, are you glad it's over? It's been like 8-9 years, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it wears you down, but you just got to keep going. You got to have hope every day.
All right, let's tell the audience what we're talking about. I met Dr. Ball a few years ago. Is at a climate change thing that G. Edward Griffin put on here in Phoenix. We're helping with, and I go, oh, that guy. Oh, him. There was a lot of good speakers there. So I'm going, all right, what was the deal? Dr. Ball is he's a retired professor from the University of Winnipeg in Canada. He earned a doctorate of science at Queen's Mary College, University of London, was chairman of the Canadian Committee on Climate Fluctuation. Chairman of the Canadian Committee on Climate Fluctuation. Okay, I want to talk about that, too. Chairman of Winnipeg's Advisory Committee on Hazardous Waste, has authored 53 scientific papers, and is the author of The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. Now, Professor Ball says that human-caused global warming is the biggest deception in history. Now, why? Well, we'll get into that. But the point is that there was a Professor Mann from the Penn State University, and Dr. Ball said, you know, he did the hockey stick graph and all our data showed we're all going to die and whatever. Well, in 98, this was like the beginning. They were building up. They got somebody to do it. And a guy at Penn State did it. That should have been in State Penn. He puts it out, and it makes a UN climate report. It goes to, this is it, an inconvenient truth. And kind of, we're all going to die. Now, you know, 20, 30 years before, we were all going to die from an ice age when I was a kid. You know, it just keeps changing all the time. If you think salt bad for you, I don't know, wait a couple of weeks, it'll be good for you again, okay? So it just keeps going back and forth. If you're old enough, you just see, and they use and manipulate and school children of whatever. When he did this, Professor Ball goes, yeah, he shouldn't be teaching at, you know, Penn State. He should be in the State Pen. Oh, that was too clever. Hell no. And they definitely wanted to shut you up because what? You're chairman of the Canadian Committee on Climate Fluctuation kind of stuff. And you got a climatologist, you know, somebody that really knows what they're doing, saying, look, man, these guys are full of crap. You must be beaten into submission. After 8 years of doing, going through the, one, what was the, you know, before we even get to that, before we got, 5 minutes, this advisory committee on and chairman of the Canadian Committee on Climate Fluctuation and, you know, scientific, who are you? How in the heck did you land a gig that wasn't, you weren't already for man-made climate change, and you got on some Canadian committee? When was that? How did that happen?
Well, it started very early in my career, but by the way, just to sum up what you just said, the British historian once said that history is just one damn thing after another.
Right.
and this the climate issue is the biggest fake news story in history, and of course it's perpetuated by the deep state. But in answer to your question, I was born near Stonehenge, so I had a very deep awareness of nature and communing with nature and so on. But when I came to Canada, I joined the Canadian Air Force, and I flew for 4 years anti-submarine over the North Atlantic, including, by the way, actively involved in the Cuban crisis. And then I flew 5 years search and rescue in Arctic Canada. And what came out of that was an awareness that weather forecasts were terrible. And I wanted to know why. Why were they so bad after, you know, we had all these, now we were starting to get satellites and all this stuff, and the forecasts are still terrible. And so I went back to university. I lost my flying category because of hearing loss. And I decided to go back to university, and I went to Queen Mary College, as you mentioned, and started looking at the long-term climate. And what I found was that, and I used, by the way, records of the Hudson Bay Company, which had operated in Canada in the north for 300 years, and they kept daily records of the weather. And they also brought in thermometers and barometers to northern Canada as early as 1768. So we had a tremendously long record. And what that record shows is what the public need to understand is how much the climate changes all the time. And it changes in surprisingly short periods of time. And the changes are 30, 40-year periods, then there are 100-year periods. So the changes are constantly going on at different lengths. And then while I was doing that, as you mentioned, from 40 to 80, global cooling became the consensus. And the CIA, by the way, were doing reports on that. A lot of people say it didn't happen, but it did. And then by 1980, it came to global warming. Because, of course, the climate changes all the time. But the exploiters of environment, which is, of course, what we're all suffering from, it's not just the climate change, it's the whole environmental attack. The temperature started to change, and we were into global warming. But there was something different about it this time, and that is that it was exploited for a political agenda. You know, it's the classic one. You
well, wasn't it always
sky's falling?
I mean, I remember in school they were, you know, I don't know if they blamed it on anybody. I think it was kind of in conjunction with nuclear winter and burning coal dust in the atmosphere is causing it or something. You know, and then you see, even as a kid, you'll have, you know, a volcano go off, and it'll blanket and do it. I go, well, I don't know. Are we going to survive that? I mean, it's a hell of a lot more than, you know, it's just so much the hole in the ozone theory. I remember, you know, the hole in the ozone thing. And now we just got a report. It's the smallest it's ever been. I guess we're okay. You know, it keeps going. After a while, you get old enough, you just don't believe anybody. And I'm wondering if that was the goal, or it's a short-term thing, or each generation of kid, you get them to something. What's the methodology here? Why?
Well, and by the way, the ozone issue, as you said, it was one, and I appeared before the Canadian Parliament on that and said, look, there is no issue here. But, no, the difference is this. Throughout history, we've always had something that is threatening us, and we've had to deal with. In fact, what's amazing about humanity is our adaptability. But the difference came in, you can pin it down to April 22nd, 1972. And the reason I can pin it down to that was because that's the first Earth Day.
Yeah, I was thinking Earth Day. Yeah. And I was, in 72, I was in, God, seventh grade. No, sixth grade.
Yeah.
You know, it was like sixth grade. Man, you know, more making the middle school in Florida. They were beating it into you. And then, Earth Day. All right. We're going to talk about some history. And is the pendulum swinging back the other way? Is there enough information? Is there the internet? We'll find out. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
Dr. Ball, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Did you want to try the Zoom thing, or just, it's all right, I can hear you pretty good.
Can you hear me pretty good? Okay.
Yeah, Zoom sounds a lot better. You're kind of in a tinny, you know, but...
Okay.
We'll pull away from the microphone a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Is that better?
Yeah, when you get over, it sounds like that, it's really close to the microphone.
Oh, I see, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I get so excited, and I start raising my voice.
Yeah, no, I know how it is. You know, I know how it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead and keep it back. I can turn up the volume here, you know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so that works a lot better. Just keep it away from your mouth a little bit. When we come back, I'm going to do this, climate change, Britain under threat, you know, the BBC.
Yep.
And then there was another one that was done. It was, what was it called? The Great Global Warming Swindle. When that first came out, God, that was years ago, and you were prominently featured in that in the beginning. You know, so I'm just going,
yep.
You know, I thought that the second, the global warming swindle, because it came out of Britain, I thought everything was BBC. And it's, I guess they call it Channel 4 or something, you know, which is, you know, it's like Fox News versus CNN at the airport or something like that. And
Exactly.
So I'm going, oh, they even have a channel that does something else? Okay, I did not know that. So it's
right.
I watched that back in the day, and, you know, so I knew something was up. I mean, these guys, I don't
right.
believe them anyway, you know. And it's they, them, those trying to excuse to take all my crap. So I'm going to do that real quick and then get back to you and comment on how this came out. Here we go.
.org.
Yeah.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, talking about taking care of business. Taking care of business. You know, somebody had to do... You know, this is one thing. I want to... All right, real quick. I want to read this thing real quick, what we talked about. But I need to know, were you retired when they came after you on this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How long did you...
I was out of the university system, but I was still writing and working, but I wasn't... I was technically retired.
Well, do you have, I don't know how they do it in Canada. You got, tenure, and they give you an office with some, you got, like, books and papers everywhere, and, you know, hallway, and you go to university to work, or what?
Well, yes, I had an office at the university, and I taught there for 25 years, and I loved teaching, by the way, and I still hear from my students. But unlike a lot of the professors, once I was retired, I couldn't wait to get out of the place. In fact, my comment was that I had to retire because there was so much scar tissue on my back, there was nowhere to put a knife anymore.
You're one of them. Okay. Now, I've talked to professors, you know, that are that way. They're you know, the students all love them, and the faculty all hate them.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm hip. I know. All right, this is what I wanted to talk about. They're Britain, BBC One or BBC, whatever the heck it is, how it does over there. You can explain this to me. Because I thought in Britain that everything was BBC. And it's British Broadcasting Corp of the Crown or something. So when they say you're not allowed, that's one thing that the Queen has the power to, is they can, you know, you're not allowed to publish. You go to jail if you do this story or whatever. And I bet presidents wish they had that one. Well, they did a thing. It was called Climate Change Britain Under Threat. And then, of course, it's a lot of graphics or you're all going to die and all that kind of stuff. But there was a counter. And it's kind of they have, it's called Channel 4 or Channel something. They got other channels there that you can get. I don't know how you get them or subscribe or whatever. But it's kind of like Fox News versus everything else, MSNBC and CNN. I mean, you know. So these, this particular channel did the Great Global Warming Swindle. And I saw that, and I didn't know that you were one of the scientists prominently featured in there until I was doing something on it just recently. I looked, I go, hey, there's Tim Ball. Woo-hoo-hoo! They knew about you a long time ago, okay? So this is the answer to that. They're going, look, you're just being swindled. This whole thing is a big hoax to more power for they, them, those. Now, how is it that when this Professor Mann back in 98, were you still a professor at when this started coming out, and when was it that you criticized him, and then how did they attack you and where?
Well, I had not retired at the time that the lawsuit started, and what happened was, first of all, let's explain, Michael Mann is a computer modeler who, like so many of these people, like they're, you know, a physicist or whatever, and they suddenly decide, oh, I'm going to study climate change. So right away, they're a climate scientist. The fact is, they know nothing. It's sort of like saying, oh, well, I like driving, therefore I can build cars. It's that stupid. But anyway, I gave a presentation on what he did, and what he did was a classic Marxist thing. You see, there was a period of history 1,000 years ago called the medieval warm period, and it was much warmer than today. And you had, growing grapes in England and Vikings in Iceland and Greenland and so on.
Yeah, the Renaissance was them because everybody was eating. They didn't have to spend all their time toiling in the fields, man. They were going, woohoo, we got food.
Yeah, we got food, exactly. And in the 1990s, Al Gore and the gang came out with this thing that said, no, it's warmer today than it's ever been. And people like me were standing up and saying, no, it was warmer 1,000 years ago than today. Well, of course, then you are a threat to them, and so they brought the lawsuits against me. But more than that, what they did was they got Michael Mann produced this graph that got rid of the medieval warm period. Now, this is, of course, the classic liberal or Marxist thing to rewrite history. So what Michael Mann did was literally rewrite climate history. He eliminated that warm period, but he also eliminated a cool period that occurred around 1680, which, of course, you look at Washington and the weather he had to face. And so this complete rewrite of history, as I said, classic Marxist thing, but what it showed was this hockey stick graph where the handle of the hockey stick was a straight line for almost 1,000 years, virtually no change, and then suddenly in the 20th century, bang, huge warming occurring. And of course, the symbolism of that, I mean, even if you knew nothing about climate, you go, oh my God, that's humans are doing that. It was a completely falsified piece of research. And yet, by the way, it was peer-reviewed, which is another frightening thing. And so by rewriting the climate history, Michael Mann was able to convince governments of the world and the people that, oh, humans are causing global warming and climate change, so we've got to stop that, and we've got to get rid of CO2, which is causing it. So his graph was really, somebody once described it as the poster child for global warming and climate change.
He was just a functionary, a useful tool in the hands of something. What?
Well, he was a useful tool in the hands of people that wanted to use climate or global warming to control the world. You see, if you're going to control the world, the best thing is vehicle for it. Yeah. It is environment, and so
or aliens.
Part of the environment, of course, is the climate. So if global warming is occurring, then no one nation can deal with it. You need a global government to deal with it. So it was actually a ruse to introduce socialism.
Okay, so they don't have this one anymore. Dr. Tim Ball's jacked up their crap, and they're like, damn it, we're going to get invaded from aliens, right? Something. You got to have something. Come on. What do you think the next one's going to be?
Oh, no, the next thing will be water.
Ah, okay, yeah, all right.
But, you know,
now what are you doing when we get byproduct of fusion reaction? Is they got enough power to desalinate and kind of, that was another thing. Even as a kid, I'm going, this is a freaking water planet. I don't know what the heck you guys' problem is. You know, how hard is this? You know, what the solution to expensive and lack of water? Expensive water. Then all of a sudden you're maybe making them some water. You know, so. This is I'm not buying it. So we'll see what happens. Now the court case when you said this about man, what year was that?
Yeah.
That was 2005, 2006. When was this? No, yeah.
No, it was 1998.
No. When you said he should be in the state pen, that was 98.
No. Sorry, that was 2011. That's when the court case.
Okay. And why did they go after you? If I would have said that, they wouldn't have cared. So when we come back, that's what I want to find out. Why you? You know, Tim Bob, he must have meant something. That must have pissed him off. He must have been mucking up their little plan there. So I'm going, okay, we're going to eat. Dr. Tim Ball, retired. You know, the professor from, then they're, you know, or close to retirement. And he goes, yeah. That guy should be in Penn State, not teaching at State Penn, or, yeah, whatever.
Is
we'll
spreading
right
the message of liberty, cryptocurrency.
Yeah, this is, it's the motivations behind it. I mean, a lot of people, such as yourself, knew in the end this is all going to come out sooner or later or whatever, and they're going to come after me. Oh, you want to play? And the decision for you to, I don't know what option you have. He instigated the lawsuit, didn't he?
Yes, he did. In fact, I have three lawsuits. All from the same lawyer, and all from members of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Okay, save that. Got to do that on air. No. I can't talk to you off air. You tell all the good stuff, and then you'll tell it again. So that's what I want to get into is this was in Canada. You know what a slap suit is? Is that a common thing with you guys?
No, I don't know that name.
Okay, let me pull it up. Strategic legal something, SLAPP.
Oh, slap, yeah, slaps. Oh, yeah, sorry, I thought you said flap. No, slap, SLAPP, is a strategic lawsuit against public participation.
There you go. There it is. Okay, strategic lawsuit against public participation. I'll talk about that. Yep. Because it is a tactic. You know, and they definitely were waiting for someone to do it on, and here comes you. You know, I bet that I could put in. All right, let me do this.
Tell you why I was the target.
Oh, don't tell
let
me now.
Air,
you know, wait, man. Yeah. This is all good stuff. Okay, Dr. Timothy Ball. I want to do slap suit and see if you come up with it because you were like a neon flashing example. Yep, there it is. Court battle. Dismissed all charge update. You know, sim. All right, let me put slap suit, make sure that is in it. Because you were a neon flashing example of this. And anybody that's been in any kind of politics, you know, you see this all the time. And some people it works, some people it doesn't, you know. And whenever they come after, I go, bring it on. But, you know, fortunately, I'd be poor. So I can go, I just do it myself, and I don't pay anybody nothing. And it's like entertainment, you know? And we get a lot of, notoriety for this kind of thing. Court balancing is, that's another thing. You know, we'll get into it when we come back, is how much this cost when people donated to your cause. I mean, you got an address, you send them their cut, or you get to keep it?
Yep.
Well, what? Do you keep the money when they pay for all your legal fees?
What I did was with my lawyer, we kept track of anybody that gave over $1,000, and we're getting all that back, and we're going to return the money.
There you go. Well, I bet you got a bunch of smaller donations, you know, but yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you're going to come out ahead. You get to take a vacation. Well, your lawyer sure as hell does.
but exactly. But you know, I can handle it. It's the family that's the problem. And that's the price your family has to pay for your notoriety.
Did they? I mean, you know, were they? You know, some of this stuff. You know, like I get slammed in press on something about whatever. And, you know, of course, my family already knows, and their friends and who we hang out with. It's kind of who cares. But you know, some people I can see they're death. Oh my God, they wrote a bad thing about you in the paper. I go, well, let me see. Did they spell it right? Woohoo! I mean, you know, I don't care. But some people, right, they're not like that. And mother-in-laws, they're not necessarily fans until it's later and you win.
They are, of course, innocent.
All right, here we're coming back. Let's talk about it. Here we go.
Some of our live shows are streamed in HD on Twitch. Please follow and share at twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah! Dr. Timothy Ball against the wind and the temperature and the blizzard and everything else. I mean, you know, this is weather. As weather, you know, because of your time in the military there, and you just saw the importance of it, is that what it was? Yep. You go, hey, man, this is important. And somebody, you know, non-stupid needs to take care of this business.
Yeah, well, of course, once you start looking at it and start looking at it historically, you see how the changes in weather create changes in society and all of the things, changes that it triggered. I mean, the change that caused the agricultural revolution in Europe, that had to precede the industrial revolution. You've got to create surplus food and surplus time so that people can move into the cities and the industrial revolution can occur.
The Renaissance, same thing.
But as I said, it was preceded by an agricultural revolution.
Yep.
The same thing happened in China. The climate change has affected China and their increased their ability to produce food. So you're not just scrambling from day to day for food. You've got surplus food. And in that surplus time, then you can advance your economy and advance yourselves. The big change in that was, of course, America. Because the people in England that were fighting the king and wanted a revolution and couldn't get it, they moved to America, and the American Revolution was, in fact, mostly created by British people that were fed up with the monarchy. Now, I'm still living under that here in Canada because I didn't get to vote for the Prime Minister, my leader, because he's effectively a monarch. And that's the difference, and so the climate has always affected human history and how we behave and what food we can produce and so on.
You know,
one thing I want to
ask you is when you look at the monarchy in Great Britain, you have enormous amounts of handwritten documentation of every temperature, of everything that they know. You know, you got the queen and advisors of, and they're looking at it. They know. They know how it's used in politics. They know how it's going to be collectivized and for the good of the state and not the people. They know. So the documentation, I would think, has that been made available in public, part of the record that temperatures in Great Britain and stuff?
Well, yes. This has really only started in the late 60s, and a guy by the name of Hubert Lamb discovered all of these records and started bringing them out. And in fact, when I started my doctoral thesis, I spent months with Lamb talking about this. But there's some even better records that are really just being touched on. For example, in 1995, and I gave a paper in Bologna in Italy, and there were a couple of guys that had started to look at the Vatican archives,
yeah,
which are unbelievable. But two other countries, one is Russia, because in 1000 A.D., the Romanovs, which of course were actually the Vikings, created Moscow, and they created the Romanov dynasty, and they knew that they needed to monitor the weather and food production. So they started the Russian Chronicles. So they started in 1000 A.D., and you've got every year, you've got the crop reports and the weather reports, because that's what's important. If you're going to control people, you got to know when there's going to be a harvest failure to get the troops in place to stop them rioting.
You know, here
and
we have
the same occurred.
I'm sorry, on Freedom's Phoenix, right now, on the front page, Pope declares Vatican secret archive not so secret anymore. This stuff may start coming out, you know. I doubt they're going to give what we really want to know. But this is, you know, before we run out of time, it's all fascinating. We got to have you on more often. That's what we're going to do. But one thing that I wanted to do is explain slap suit. Now, slap suit, strategic lawsuit against public participation. This is a technique to shut you freaking up. And they had guys sitting there waiting for somebody to come up like you to do this. And they go, oh, him, let's go get him. Why? Well, he did it, and he got a lot of attention and made us look bad, and we're just going to go dump on him because we can, and that's our modus operandi. We're going to kick ass. So the lawsuit was filed by whom? They were representing who, and where was it filed, and why? And because I figure if you go after somebody in Canada, in a Canadian court, that you said you violated somebody's self-esteem or something, you lose. I mean, they just go after you. But so tell me about, you know, when you made this comment, how long did it take them to go after you, who did it, who is involved, and walk us through the case really fast.
Okay, very quickly, I got three lawsuits, all from the same lawyer, all hired by members of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the group that have pushed the whole global warming agenda. And the first lawsuit, I just said, okay, I'll withdraw what I wrote because my wife and I said we can't afford it. The second lawsuit was from Andrew Weaver, who is the leader of the Green Party here in British Columbia now, and he was the computer modeler that did all the models that create this rubbish. And so my wife and I said, no, we're not going to get pushed around anymore. And so we legally fought back. We spent all of our savings very quickly, but then we got donations to help fight the lawsuits.
How did the donations start?
Wait,
Dr. Ball, how did the donations start? You know, how did you, please help me, or somebody championed it, or you're on, you know, some press, or your lawyer said, do, I mean, how?
A lawyer in England contacted me and said, look, you need to set up a website and get a PayPal account and get people to donate for your legal fees. And so that's what happened. But the biggest help I got was from a guy in New York who had a lot of money. And he just contacted my lawyers and said, give me a business plan of what it's going to cost, and he wrote a check for most of it, and I'm so grateful for that because I certainly couldn't have afforded it.
Equally grateful that you did this so he could do it and some. I mean, you know, there's always guys like that they don't count on.
Right, but his only comment ever to me was, Michael Mann's a charlatan and has got to be exposed.
Boom. Okay, so you take on, the guy that did the graphene in Canada and man, that wasn't part of the same. So you had three lawsuits. You fought two of them?
I fought two of them, yes, and won both of them. And one of them was with, as I said, this now Green Party leader here in British Columbia. And he was on four of the United Nations panels and their reports.
Ah.
And And then within 9 days of getting that lawsuit, I got the one from Michael Mann because I'd made the presentation in Winnipeg of what he was doing.
Okay. Now, your wife, you know, is she reluctantly agreed, okay, damn, we're into this for our retirement. This is not how I just wanted to spend my retirement years. Or was she like, yeah, go get them, get some? I mean, you know, how enthusiastic was she?
Well, this was the issue. We had to sit down. I had to sit down and say, look, if we're going to fight this, it's going to take a lot of our time and our money. And I'm blessed with a wonderful wife, and the family supported me. But, you know, as I always say, they paid the price for my principles. But what's that old comment about behind every successful man, there's a quiet woman, you know? I couldn't have done it without the support of my family.
Oh, no, I'm hip. Is this going to be a good Christmas? Yeah. Everybody coming together going, woo, Dad, you done kick butt, man. We're going to Applebee's after this. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah. As I said, we had to deal with it as a family because the family was affected in both ways of it hitting them, but also having to support me and pay the price for it.
Well, hopefully you're made whole on this. I want to hear more about the actual case itself and the argument and the, you know, for 8 years, they're just, who's dragging this out? I'm sure you didn't want to drag it out, but they're just dragging it out because they can drag it out. But once they see the check from the other, they're like, damn it, this is going to, we got to hurry up and elect Hillary, you know? We'll be right back.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Dr. Ball, I got a question emailed from the audience real quick, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
John Coleman is gone and Tim is getting older. What can be done to keep factual study alive? Is there a good school? Is there a group of young individual professors continuing the work? All the money on the other side of this issue, what can be done to have the facts about climate data memory hold through establishment education controls on content? Maybe ask him about Maurice Strong and if he knows about James Corbett's work. It's a lot to unpack there. One, I don't like the centralization of anything. The fact that the internet's out there kind of, you know, what they came up against, you know. Because if it's just Timothy Ball, they'd offer you enough. The answer is always yes, it's just how much. You know, don't kill my family and give me a gazillion dollars and I can shut up all hell. I mean, you know, whatever. But the... so any comment on that? Is there a place to go?
Yes, there's a group in England called Principia Scientifica, and they've set up the Tim Ball Foundation, and it's gathering money. They've got a millionaire that's going to put some money into it, and that will promote the whole idea and the battle that I fought.
And what's it called?
Guarantee that it goes forward.
What's it called?
Timothy Ball Foundation.
Yeah, you said something before that. It was
Principia Scientifica.
Okay, we mentioned that.
And it's a guy, but the guy who actually told me to get a lawyer and told me to set up a website, John O'Sullivan. He's organizing it, and he wants to make sure that the whole battle keeps going.
Okay, why? What's his motivation? Right, it's a big thing. Let's raise money and I get paid. Yeehaw! Or what?
No. John's motivation is very much like you mentioned the documentary that was made. That was made by a Martin Durkin at Channel 4, which is a subset of the BBC. But what Martin does is he looks at issues and said, okay, that's what the public have been told. What's the other side of the story? And that's how he got into the climate thing. And, of course, what he discovered is that there's a very, very shiny coin on the other side of every problem that we have. And so he makes documentaries in that way, and that's how he made the Great Global Warming Swindle. And so this is what John O'Sullivan does. There are some people out there that are genuinely...
Support international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Dr. Ball's got and deserves a peaceful, easy feeling. Yeah, we're just going to, you know, it's nice to be, you go through this kind of battle of your life and your family, and you come out the other side and go, ha, 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 for the win. You know, well, the big thing is that you hate having to do it to begin with. That just shows that there's some other fundamental, basic, oh, my God, grandkid problems, okay, you know, in the future and stuff. But they're addressing this. We got an email from a listener. You know, where is... this study going to maintain itself? Is there a good school? Is there a group of individuals that are continuing to work? Is there something that can be... Tim Ball Foundation, you know, Principia Scientifica Foundation, out of Great Britain, there's a guy with some money and a lawyer, John O'Sullivan, that, you know, suggested to get an attorney to begin with. They set this up, will continue the work, but then that gets taken over 22 and a half years from now, and then you're down the rabbit hole again, you know. But the whenever you create an organization, a group around any movement or cause, sooner or later the group becomes more important than the reason you created it. That's what my experience. But, you know, I'm more about decentralization of the information. It's just out there. Then you need to have the permanence of this stuff so you can just get the, you know, the truth button. You know, what say you, Dr. Ball?
Well, the answer is that I learned a long time ago that once you define the problem, you're halfway to solving it. And problems are only problems as long as you're not aware of them. But once you've identified it and scoped it out, then you can start to deal with it. And this is the point that we're at now, that the people are starting to become aware of what we've defined as the exploitation of environment and climate, global warming and then later climate change, as a political exploitation of science and the environment for a socialist agenda.
Now, and I guarantee and so, this is not just climate. It's everything.
No, everything, yes.
Okay, now this is, he asked in his letter something about Maurice Strong and Corbett, and I'm going, Maurice Strong, wasn't he a socialist professor back in the day of influencing people or something?
Maurice Strong, you know, is one of these sort of evil geniuses, because the one thing you got to remember, I mean, Hitler wasn't stupid. And the minute you start thinking he's stupid, you're in trouble. And Maurice Strong was a Canadian who came out of the Dust Bowl of the Prairies as a socialist, and he made a lot of money in the oil industry in Canada, but once he got wealthy, and just like George Soros is doing, they become socialists. And Maurice Strong used his power and influence, but which he could get a great deal of in Canada. It's a much smaller pond, so it was easier to be a big frog in a small pond. And he was the one that really got the whole environmental thing going with the Rio Declaration in 1992 and the Agenda 21. People should go and look up Agenda 21. It's still operating. It's operating at the municipal level. Every municipality across the world is introducing climate and environmental plans. It's not happening at the federal level. It's happening at the municipal level. Because you might remember the phrase that they coined was think globally but act locally. That's exactly what they're doing. And so you look at municipalities. In fact, a year ago, July, there was a conference in San Francisco where they spent $1.3 billion to get municipalities to introduce these climate action plans. And so it's happening at the municipal level, not at the federal level.
Yeah, no. This is one thing that we realized. I'll tell you a little thing you may not know. In 96 or so, they tried to do a regional government thing here in the county of Maricopa, which is like one of the largest counties in the nation. And they said they wanted to have regional government that put a legislative layer on the county to give like a whole new slew of legislators, you know, and it have its own lawmaking ability and budget and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to being a, you know, subsidiary of the state. So they wanted to have new elections, they wanted to have a new thing, and it lost like 51-49, and we did a big campaign, a bunch of printing and stuff against it, and of course they blamed us. What they were trying to do was to use environmentalism and global warming, and we got it for the sustainable development thing. Well, they pulled the trigger a little too soon, and everybody went, whoa! So all of this stuff has been to get what they got now. They have, you know, new layers of government, new bureaucracies, new to rule us, and it's all and the name of sustainable development.
Yep. And by the way, one of the people that used the environment to control was Adolf Hitler. Hitler had a complete environmental plan, and that's why he built the Volkswagen so people could drive out on the autobahns to the forest and commune with nature. So Hitler was very much into it. But anybody that wants to control anything, the environment is the perfect vehicle, because all you have to do is say the sky is falling and I can save you from it. And of course, the other beauty of it is that it's global. It overrides the individual nations. Now, luckily, with the rejection of the Paris Climate Agreement, and thank God for Trump for that, that Paris Climate Agreement would have taken over the world. And they had a fund of $100 billion in a bank account in South Korea, and they were propagandizing everywhere. Well, luckily, because of Trump, as I said, that's all died. But any time that somebody says, oh, I've got an environmental issue, you know it's political. It's not genuine environmentalism, because we're all environmentalists.
Yeah. And define that. We're all environmentalists. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is we all care about the planet.
Yep.
And yet this group have come along and said, you don't care about the planet, we do, and therefore we have to run things and teach you better. That's as soon as somebody comes near you and says, you should do things my way, you should immediately get your back up.
You know, there was in 1992, yep. It was the Ross Perot campaign and Bo Greitz, and you had, right. God, what was it, Bush and Clinton, and on and on. Well, there was a natural law party that had 50 state ballot status, and that's what they were arguing. The scientists should be in charge, like the Venus Project kind of crap. And they're going, the scientists, we're scientists, we'll be in charge, we'll tell you how to do it, you don't know what you're doing, we'll do it. And I'm going, whoa, that always works out well. The scientific technological elite want to rule me.
Yeah, well, of course, that's why Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. Frankenstein was this monster that the scientists created, but of course found out once they created the monster, he had to keep feeding it. And so this is what she was warning about with science. But she saw it more starkly because science was really just in its infancy at that time. Now you've got these scientists are saying, oh, this is happening and that's happening, and people don't know enough to know whether it's true or not, but it's enough to scare them and into surrendering some of their individual liberties.
Okay, in the last minute here, tell us how this finally ended, the court case.
Well, what happened was that I said I had three lawsuits. One I simply withdrew what I wrote. The other two I fought. I won both of them. And they were very, very important victories. So now what I'm doing is winning a lawsuit is one thing. What I'm working on now is disseminating the information and saying, look, the courts have ruled. The courts have backed my side, and therefore that gives a lot of credibility to it. So winning a court battle is one thing, but using it to help people understand what's going on is another important message and lesson. And one of the things the good Lord gave me was an ability to explain complex issues in relatively simple ways. And that, of course, is why I was attacked so much. That and the fact that I'm qualified. They couldn't say I wasn't qualified. So those two things made me the target.
Oh, you're going to be speaking at Red Pill, aren't you?
No, I will be, but it'll be on Skype because I can't travel anymore.
Oh.
Unfortunately, because of the health situations, my traveling days are over. But with Skype, I'm able to put together a presentation and then appear to answer questions as well.
All right, cool. I'm looking forward to, you know, see, we'll be up there. You know, too bad. Right. I'm hoping to say, hey, we'll get you on again real soon. Donna, work out a time as early as next week because I got 5 gazillion more questions, you know. But we kind of, we let you do a victory lap, though. You got a victory.
Oh, thank
woo-hoo!
You.
Dr. Tim Ball. Right. We'll be right back.
Why did you?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is.
Okay.
I'm glad that, you know, this is going well for you. How's your health, though? What are you talking about?
Well, I've resolved all of the health problems except my type 2 diabetes, so I can control that to some extent, but just as you get older, it takes over. And by the way, over 50% of the North American population have diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, no, it's a diet thing. I mean, you know, that always helps, you know, but we North America, and, you know, I know how it goes.
That's the price you pay. Price you pay for prosperity.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Asian sees a fat American. Oh, congratulations on your success.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, thanks for coming on. We'll get you on real soon. Donna will set it up again because there's a lot more other stuff I'd like to talk to you about.
There's so much more to talk about.
I'm, and certainly, you know, let's do it after Red Pill. I'd like to promote it more.
Okay.
We'll do it after Red Pill. You know,
because
we'll get a lot of stuff to ask you about from your presentation there. Thank you, Dr. Ball. Sure. Congratulations, man.
Thanks very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.